श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः.
जस्ट से आफ्टर मी वन वर्स, ए सिंपल वर्स फ्रॉम देवी महात्म्यम. वन वर्स.
चितिरूपेण
चितिरूपेण
याकृत्स्नम्
याकृत्स्नम्
येतद्व्याप्य
येतद्व्याप्य
स्थिता जगते
स्थिता जगते
नमस्तस्यै नमस्तस्यै
नमस्तस्यै नमस्तस्यै
नमस्तस्यै नमो नमः
नमस्तस्यै नमो नमः.
दिस् वर्स् इस् फ्रम् देवी महात्म्यम्. देर् देवी, ऐ मीन् देर् मेनी वर्सस् वेर् इन् दिस् नमस्तस्य वि से मेनी टैम्स् द फिफ्त् चाप्टर्. And here, namaha tasyai, namaha tasyai, namaha tasyai. Namaha means salutations, vanakkangal, namaskarangal. Tasyai to her, salutations unto her. Appo, tasyai na avalukku, andha devikku vanakkam, andha devikku vanakkam, andha devikku vanakkam. We say three times, salutations unto her. Namaha tasyai, namaha tasyai, namaha tasyai. But when you say it together, namastasyai 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 namo namaha, the same line is there many times repeated. I have taken the last verse. And then, so namaha tasyai na, tasyai is a pronoun, isn't it? To her. Avalukkun solra, and the devikku, to her. Appo, which devi, which to her? To her means to whom? So which sort of devi, which person she is? That we have to say. So the first sentence explains who this Devi is.
Chitirupena,
Chitirupena,
ya,
ya.
So ya is a relative, I mean, pronoun. You know, you have to relate to it. Ya, yevalo. The she who, ya means she who. Ya, she who, sthita, sthita means remains, she who remains. She who remains as what? Remains vyapya.
Chitirupenaya krishnam etad vyapya sthita jagat.
She who remains. How she remains? Vyapya. Vyapya means pervading. Vyapith. Vyapya in Tamil also can say vyapith. Vyapya, vyapith. Pervading. So she, ya, she who, sthita remains, vyapya pervading, remains pervading what? Pervading what? What does she pervade?
Jagat.
Look at this, you found that word now. Very simple, isn't it? Jagat, pervading the jagat. Universe, pervading the universe. Which universe? Etad, this universe. Etad, the universe. This universe means, etad means this. So, etad jagat, this universe. This which universe again? Kritsnam. Kritsnam na entire. Not Krishna. This is different since Kritsnam. Kritsnam. Very simple, no? Kritsnam means entire. This entire universe. So, ya sthita vyapya sthita. Etad kritsnam jagat vyapya sthita. So she who remains pervading this entire universe. Okay, she remains pervading entire universe. That is fine. Ya sthita. Now Tamil ka matra understand now. Ya she who remains pervading this entire universe. In which form does she pervade? In which form does she pervade? Pervade the entire jagat, no? Rupena. Rupena in the form of Rupatal. Tamil sonna Rupatal. Rupena in the form of what? In the form of what? Chitihi. Chitihi is a nice feminine gender word, not chitti. No? Tamil we have chitti, no? I don't know. Sri Lanka use this word. Tamil, okay. Chitihi. Not chit. Chit we have. You know the chit. The same chit in feminine gender word is called Chitihi. Nalla perad. Chitihi. Nalla pinbal sol. Chitihi means awareness, consciousness. I think I finished all the words. Isn't that right? Now, she who remains pervading this entire universe in the form of awareness. Otherwise, she can't pervade, isn't it? So you personify the reality as Devi, Parashakti. She who remains pervading the entire universe in the form of or as consciousness, Rupena. அது சைத்தன்ய ரூபத்தால் உலகனைத்தையும் வியாபித்து இருக்கின்ற தேவி எவளோ அந்த தேவிக்கு வணக்கம். அன்டு ஹர் சல்யூட்டேஷன்ஸ். பிகாஸ் யா தஸ்யை, யா யாரோ அவருக்கு. ரிலேட்டிவ் ப்ரோனம். யா இஸ் ரிலேட்டிவ் ப்ரோனம். ஸோ யா ஷீ ஹூ ஸ்திதா ரிமைன்ஸ் வியாபிய பர்வேடிங் ஏதத் கிருத்ஸ்னம் ஜகத்து, திஸ் என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ் ஆஸ் ஓகே பியூர் கான்சியஸ்னஸ் ஆர் ஆஸ் இன் த ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் அவேர்னஸ். தஸ்யை நமஹா, தஸ்யை நமஹா, தஸ்யை நமஹா. சல்யூட்டேஷன்ஸ் அன்டு ஹர், சல்யூட்டேஷன்ஸ் அன்டு ஹர், சல்யூட்டேஷன்ஸ் அன்டு ஹர். செவ்வாய்க்கிழமை அமாவாசை. So that of Juma, what say, what, like if you teach small verses like this, they'll think. Because now you know what is pervading. I don't need much need to explain much. Even though if you happen to hear this verse anywhere, it very simple verse, but it needs a lot of explanation. But now you know some, you have some understanding of Vedanta. That is why Puranas don't make sense if you don't know the fundamentals of Vedanta. Okay, so I'll teach another verse next class. Chitirupenaya Krishnam,
Chitirupenaya Krishnam,
Yetadvyapyasthita Jagat,
Yetadvyapyasthita Jagat,
Namastasyai Namastasyai,
நமஸ்தஸ்யை நமோ நமஹ.
சுருக்கமா சொன்னா, அறிவு வடிவில் யார் இவ்வுலகனைத்தையும் வியாபித்திருக்கிறாரோ அவருக்கு வணக்கம், அவளுக்கு வணக்கம், அந்த தேவிக்கு வணக்கம். ஓகே, கோ டு திஸ்.
பஜ கோவிந்தம், பஜ கோவிந்தம், பஜ கோவிந்தம், பஜ கோவிந்தம், கோவிந்தம் பஜ மூடமதே, கோவிந்தம் பஜ மூடமதே, சம்ப்ராப்தே சந்நிஹிதே காலே, சம்ப்ராப்தே சந்நிஹிதே காலே, நஹி நஹி ரக்ஷதி துக்ரிங்கரணே,
நஹி நஹி ரக்ஷதி துக்ரிங்கரணே,
காமம் க்ரோதம் லோபம் மோஹம், காமம் க்ரோதம் லோபம் மோஹம், த்யக்த்வாத்மானம் பஷ்யதி சோஹம், த்யக்த்வாத்மானம் பஷ்யதி சோஹம், ஆத்மஜ்ஞானவிஹீனமூடாஹ, ஆத்மஜ்ஞானவிஹீனமூடாஹ, தே பச்யந்தே நரகநிகூடாஹ,
தே பச்யந்தே நரகநிகூடாஹ.
சோ மே யூ நோ த லார்ட், மே யூ அட்டைன் த லார்ட் த்ரூ நாலெட்ஜ். இறைவனை அறிவுபூர்வமாக அடைவாயாக, இறைவனை அறிவாயாக. அதர்வைஸ் வாட் வில் ஹேப்பன் இஃப் யூ டு நாட் நோ ஹூ பகவான் இஸ், we do not know what the truth is. See, knowing Bhagavan implies knowing what you are. Knowing what you are implies resolving your identity with totality. Your individuality in totality. That is only way you can revel in fullness. That is only way you can become free from everything. Otherwise, if you do not know what the self is, if you do not know what the truth is, then atma jnana vihinaha. Atma jnana vihinaha, those who are atma jnana hinarhal. Atma jnana matrarhal. Those who do not have the atma jnana, those who do not know the self, what happens? They will continue to be mudaha. Doesn't matter how highly they are qualified, how much they know, how much they have accomplished in this life, doesn't matter. So, atma jnana vihinaha mudaha. The mudaha means they are deluded. They'll be definitely deluded. Deluded means what? They will not have the discriminative knowledge of what the self is. If they do not know what the self is, definitely they do not know what the non-self is also. Why? One, there's no lack of discriminative knowledge. If they do not know that, then definitely they'll mistake the non-self for the self. Understand? Thereby, once they mistake the non-self for the self, then they are mudaha. Thereby, they will continue to be in this cycle of births and deaths. This other narakam is a different thing. Understand? Naraka nigudaha, te pachyante naraka nigudaha. They continuously, they get troubled, they get affected by day-to-day problems of samsara. Understand? Naraka nigudaha. Therefore, he says here, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, tyaktva, pashya. Therefore, be intelligent. Pashya. May you see. May you see means may you know. May you try to know. Doesn't matter, don't say, I don't know. Make efforts to know and see. Pashya literally means see, par. But here, may you know. Pashya means, literally it means see. May you see through, may you know, may you understand, may you recognize. Listen, may you see, pashya. What should you pashya? So he says, pashyati, one sees. Okay? The one who pashyati sees, one who knows. Pashyati, atmanam. Pashyati, atmanam. One sees the self. Atmanam pashyati. Atmave parkirar. The one who sees the self means he knows the self. How one knows the self? Saha aham soham is a mahavakyam. Soham is a mahavakyam. Like how this says, tatu tvam asi is a mahavakyam. Like aham atma, aham brahma asmi is mahavakyam. I am atma brahma. This self is Brahman. This self, I am atma brahman is another mahavakyam. Like that, soham also is a mahavakyam. Soham. Nowadays people use this mantra in this pranayama classes. They don't teach the meaning, okay? But just simply they use it for their pranayama. Soham. If we split it, saha aham. Mahavakyam has to be split here. Saha aham. Oruvar atmavi parkirar. A wise person sees the atma, sees the self. We understand, okay, one who sees the self is of a wise person. Therefore, he says, pashyati sees. Who is this? Wise person sees. Let us take it that way. Pashyati. Wise person sees what? Wise person sees the self. Seeing the self means what? He knows the self. He recognizes the self. He clearly has the clear vision of the self. Atmanam pashyati. How does he see the self? Does he see the self as body, mind and complex? No. Does he see the self as the limited being? Understand? No. He sees the self as saha. Understand? Saha aham. Saha aham. Aham means I. Saha means that. Saha is a third person, singular masculine gender pronoun. Okay? Saha is a third person, singular masculine gender pronoun, which means that. He. Okay? He, that you can say, we have that, for that we have all the, seeing the gender word, you can't say it's a masculine gender also, but here Saha, as we can say very clearly, Saha is a third person, singular masculine gender pronoun. Okay? Saha. Here Saha stands for the Lord. The Lord. That Lord. That fullness. That happiness. That limitlessness. That reality. அந்த பரம்பொருள், ஓகே, அந்த இறைவன், அந்த கட, அந்த அத பரம்பொருள். சஹ அஹம் தட் லார்ட், ஓகே, ஐ எம் தட் லார்ட், அஹம் சஹ, அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், அஹம் சஹ, சஹ அஹம், அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட், அஹம் சஹ. சோ வென் யூ புட் இட் டுகெதர், சோஹம். நம்ம தமிழ், நம்ம சோகம் எடுத்துடக்கூடாது. தமிழ்னா ஒரு சோகமா உட்கார்ந்து இருக்க, தட் நாட் தட், தட் இஸ் ஷோகா, ஷோகா, தட் இஸ் டிஃபரெண்ட். ஓகே, ஷோகா, நோ, ஷோகா இஸ் சாரோ, இசன்ட் இட், அண்ட் அசோகா வேர் தெர் இஸ் நோ சாரோ, அண்ட் சீதா வாஸ் சிட்டிங் சாரோ ஃப்ரீ அசோகவனம், ஓகே, வேர் தெர் இஸ் நோ சாரோ. அசோகவனம் இஸ் சப்போஸ் டு பி அ பிளேஸ் ஆஃப் ஹாப்பினஸ், பிளேஸ் ஆஃப் பிளஷர்ஸ். Understand? Even Ashokavanam, Sita became unhappy. Understand? It's called Ashokavanam. Ashoka means sorrowless, painless, okay, thing. Shoka has grief. Anyway. So here, what I say here, Shokam is different here, but here, Saha Aham. Saha Aham. Aham Saha. I, the self, am the reality, that Lord. I am that Lord. I am the Lord, the reality, the awareness, the whole. I am the Lord, the reality, the universal natural law and order, the awareness. This is Saha Aham. Iti Atmanam Pashyati. One who sees the self as pure awareness, that means one who knows, one who has really worked hard and really discovered. Oh, definitely, the first person singular pronoun has been shifted from the body. First body also was mistaken for the self. We did not know what the self was, but I was identified with everything in different contexts and different timings, understand? Therefore, I was definitely rooted, well rooted here. I sense was there in the body. And now, when we understood, oh, I cannot say I am the body, because I have to say this is the body, therefore I has been shifted from where? The body. Lifted and shifted, no? In terms of knowledge. Then, afterwards also, it was also shifted again from where? Pranas. Again shifted from where? No, sense organs. Again shifted from where? Organs of actions. I mean all the powers, sense powers, subtle powers. Again shifted from where? Mind. All the thoughts, one after the other, every thought. Because anger was there, first of all, I was angry, okay? I am angry. I am desirous. I am desirous of things. I have disease. I am angry. I am frightened. So every thought, my God, identity is there in different, whenever, whatever is there, when there is fear, I am frightened. When there is anger, is I am angry. Therefore, different emotions also. I love this so much. I hate it. Look at this. Who does all these things? I am so much with all these different thoughts. And the I has been shifted everywhere, because every thought is object of knowledge, okay? So the entire mind is object of knowledge. Even the knowledge, am, is object of knowledge. Am is knowledge, isn't it? Object of knowledge. Because it is not there. Irikkiren. That is not there in deep sleep state. Then what is there? Therefore, I has been shifted from everything, because I has been understood as a subject of knowledge, the knower, shifted from all the objects of knowledge. And where can it be placed now? There's no place to be placed. Oh, I can say I am the knower. Okay. I has been sold in what? Knower. I'm the knower. So where is the knower now? There's no knower other than awareness. So knower is so awareness. Gone. What is awareness then? Therefore, what can you say now? I can say I am the self, I am the awareness. And this having understood what awareness, first of all we did not know what awareness is. Then you understand what awareness is, then again and again by studying, by repeatedly listening and studying, by clearly understanding what exactly how awareness is, how pure awareness is, how pure consciousness is, by contemplation, by understanding it, and one who sees clearly, without any doubt, oh my God, this awareness which is all which pervades everything, which is there always timelessly, which is there everywhere spatial, without any spatial limitation, which is there in every object as every object, without being limited by any object also, being free from all these limitations, but which is there, that reality is pure awareness, which is in fact me, which is I. Understand, the one who has understood thoroughly, clearly, and one who sees the self, this first understanding itself is not enough. Having understood, then having cleared the doubts about the self, having contemplated upon the nature of awareness, then having got it ascertained, the one who clearly sees, Atmanam Pashyati, one who sees the self as what? One who sees the self as self, self in such a way that I am that Ishvara, I am that Lord. When he says I am the Lord, he does not identify with awareness. That should be clear. One cannot say I am the Lord having identity with the body, mind and complex alone. See, even when you have identity with the awareness, you still can have identity with the body, mind and complex, but you know it's only relative. Absolutely, I the self am the consciousness. Then you can say I am that Lord, Saha Aham. I am non-separate from the Lord, the whole. The Lord, the whole, is non-separate from me. I told you two different standpoints, isn't it? The standpoints are upadis. If you take, for example, a wave form and name is an upadi for the water. What is an upadi? Upadi is that which limits. What is called limiting agent. So here, similarly, for ocean also you can say, the ocean is a name and form which is an upadi of Ishvara. I mean, for the ocean also is upadi for the water. The two are upadis. Similarly, as an individual, body, mind, sense complex becomes upadi for awareness. Similarly, same, another upadi is also there, Ishvara upadi. Whole jagat is upadi for Ishvara. Jiva upadi, Ishvara upadi. Understand now? Individual upadi and also Ishvara upadi. From the standpoint of upadis, you are small, you are alpagyaha, you are little knowing, you are definitely you are small, you are finite, understand? You are different from Ishvara, the whole, omniscient, omnipotent, almighty, omnipresent, Lord is omniscient, definitely difference is there. You are different from Ishvara. From the standpoint of upadis, jiva upadi, Ishvara upadi. So minus upadi, wave minus wave form and name. Understand? Ocean minus ocean name and form. Form and name. What is that? The truth, from the standpoint of the reality, minus upadi, the truth, the water, wave is ocean. Similarly, here also, the reality should be considered or something mithya should be considered. So, the standpoint of jiva upadi and Ishvara upadi, the body mind is complex in the jagat, definitely jiva is different from Ishvara. Every individual is different from Ishvara, the whole. From the standpoint of awareness, the truth of the jiva, the truth of Ishvara, there is no difference. Why? Because why there's no difference? This reality, the consciousness, is one indivisible, partless whole in which all the upadis exist. Understand? One indivisible, partless whole. Therefore, and there is no difference. This understanding is clear for whom he can say soham. In fact, soham is a very important mantra. We sannyasi is supposed to contemplate upon this mantra. Soham. But it should not be taught outwardly like this. Anyway, soham iti yaha atmanam pashyati. The wise person sees the self in such a way that I am that Ishvara, I the self am pure consciousness, I am that Lord, the whole, the universal, natural law and order. He sees. Then what happens in that vision, in this oneness of, in the vision of that oneness of reality, the vision of that, vision of the non-duality of the reality, the vision of Ishvara as a whole. Everything is Ishvara. Everything is the self, okay? The vision, that vision, there are no limitation, nothing limits awareness. Look at this, what limits awareness? Nothing can limit awareness. It's all, in fact, consciousness is never bound. Consciousness never becomes free. Consciousness doesn't undergo any pain. Consciousness has no jealousy. Consciousness has no envy. Consciousness has no anger. Consciousness has no pain. Consciousness has no pleasure. Consciousness does not have anything. Nor does it, okay, we can't say it does not have anything. So what is consciousness then? Consciousness is free from everything. How? Because everything that comes and resolves in consciousness. Is it clear now? Consciousness has no anger. But anger is a state of mind which rises and resolves in consciousness. Ignorance is a state of mind which rises and resolves in consciousness. So all these different states of mind rise and resolve in awareness. Consciousness as such is not bound by anything. Consciousness is, because beginningless and endless and changeless, not bound by time, not bound by space. What can limit consciousness? Even this example, you can say, in what way can the wave bind or limit the water? Understand? Similarly, here also, what can limit the consciousness here? Nothing. Consciousness is ever free. Consciousness is not bound. Consciousness does not attain moksha also. Okay, there's only sense of bondage. Understand? I am bound is a notion. I am limited is a notion which is the mind. Manasada. Understand? The notion is that I am bound is a notion. Oh, I am free also is what notion. That is why even Narayana is very beautiful verse, no? There is no real moksha, bandha moksha. There is no moksha or bandha for the atma. The sense of astha, there is a bondage, and as this bond, freedom is attained. There is no real bondage and real moksha also. And it says all the manas, so manayeva manushyanam karanam bandha mochayoho. It's all the mind, it's all the thinking, isn't it? Similarly here, consciousness such is free. And once this person who resolves this I in awareness, in terms of knowledge, one who understands the self being pure awareness, and the self being, the awareness being the truth of the whole, one who is everything as is Ishvara, one who says, I the self am the Lord, the awareness, the conscious, the all-pervasive consciousness, in the form of universal natural law and order, such a person, atmanam pashyati, he revels in fullness, no more limitations. Being limited is being sorrowful and being unhappy. Being limited is being sorrowful and happy. In the wake of knowledge of reality, how can there be a limited, the sense of being limited cannot be there. Isn't it? See, being limited is being unhappy. So being limitless is being happy. So being limitless, make it a proper noun now. Limitlessness is equal to happiness. Limitlessness is happiness, fullness. Therefore, such a person revels in fullness. Niraivil telekirar. Understand now? So yaha, so atmanam pashyati saha aham iti yaha atmanam pashyati. Okay, he who sees the self in such a way that I am the Lord, such a person reveling in fullness, there cannot be, in that wake of knowledge, where there is knowledge, there definitely, there in that mind, the wise person's mind, there cannot be all these things. Kamaha, krodaha, lobaha, mohaha. You can add two more. Madaha, matsaryam. I told you last class itself. Remember, six-fold enemies. The six-fold enemies cannot be there. Not only six-fold enemies, and knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six. I told you that. Shadari. Shannam arihi. Arihi means enemy. Now, I don't know whether you use the word ari in Malayalam. Ari is rice, isn't it? And in, you know, where Sri Lankan Tamils also use this. Arihi, in English, arisi. Arisi dana. Okay. Because in Malayalam we have this problem. Because arihi means, ari is rice there. So here, arihi, not harihi, okay? Not harihi. It is ari. Arihi means enemy. And then shadari means, shat means six. Shadari is na shannam arihi, enemy of the six. Who is the enemy of the six? Knowledge. Knowledge of the reality. Why enemy is the six? Because enemy is the one who drives away. Irukka udam pannina enemy dana. So when once the knowledge comes, when the knowledge is not there, these six enjoy the place. Understand? These six own my mind. Look at this. Kamaha, you know, desire, krodaha, anger, lobaha, greed, kama, krodha, lobaha, mohaha, delusion, lack of discriminative knowledge, madaha, pride, matsaryam, jealousy. Okay, these six own the mind. Possess the mind and them possess pashacha. They possess, they sit and occupy the mind. They don't let other people, nothing, they don't let others to enter there. They six occupy. But when the knowledge comes here, knowledge comes in and drives away all of them. Therefore, knowledge is said to be the enemy of the six, shadari. Shannam arihi, shadari. And so when you go to Peruvi, any Vishnu temple, they put on your head the shadari, the cap, and where you can see the feet of the Lord, which feet of the Lord always stand for the knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the Lord. Irevanai patriya arivai kurikkindra adayalam thiruvadi. Understand? Feet stand for the knowledge of the Lord. That is why when the feet are kept, it means what? Bhagavan's feet has touched your head means you are no more away from Ishvara. Understand? I mean, you are blessed with knowledge of the Lord. And when you pray for that knowledge, supposed to pray for the knowledge, when the Archaka keeps that, you're supposed to pray for that knowledge. Because it cannot be knowledge and the six cannot coexist. Now, he is very wise, but he is also jealous. You can't say that. Understand? Not possible. That is why this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsaryam also can say that. Because this kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, tyaktva, giving up. He says giving up. In fact, being free from all these sixfold enemies, okay, for whom knowledge is the enemy, one who sees the self in such a way that I am that Lord, I the self, I am the consciousness, I am the self, I am the Lord, the consciousness. One who knows this. This is one meaning, okay? He is wise person and he is the one who is free. Otherwise, naraka nigudaha. Atma, so one who sees the Atma becomes free from all of them. One who does not see the Atma, one does not know the Atma, Atma jnana vihinaha, mudaha, they will be deluded, they cannot have discriminating knowledge of what is real and what is not real, what is satyam, what is mithya, what is permanent, what is impermanent. They cannot know what is what atma is, what anatma is. It is very difficult because there is no separation. If there is distance between atma and anatma, it is easy. If there is distance between me and the chair, it is, even though I am sitting in the chair closely, still I know I am different from the chair. The problem is, if there is distance, it is easy to distinguish. I will not mistake anything for anything. There is not distance. What distance is there between the wave and water? What distance is there between wave and the ocean also? There is no distance. Understand? Similarly, there is no distance between awareness and the matter and the material universe. Because matter itself is never away from awareness. The distance being not there, understand, this mind itself being the material product, it is very difficult for this mind to distinguish. So ignorance is natural, uncreated. But this mind is capable of piercing and penetrating and discovering it. That's what resisted. But no, amazing said that's a different thing, topic I had to talk about. Now what I'm saying, so here such a person, okay, that one can, it's very difficult to distinguish. Otherwise, definitely they'll be deluded. They will not have a discriminative understanding of knowledge of what atma is, what anatma is. Once they cannot have that knowledge, because they lack the knowledge, they cannot have the discriminatory knowledge, then naturally they'll mistake the anatma for the atma. Thereby they will continue to be affected by punya papas in the form of pain and pleasures in this life of the life samsara, life of transmigration. Samsara itself has to be looked upon as narakam here. Samsara is narakam. Understand, narakam is a different narakam which shastras talk about. That we will not know when you are alive. See, heavenly pleasures or the pain of the hell, we need a different body for that. Only subtle. Understand, we don't need this. It is like dream pain and dream pleasure. In dream you have any pleasure, you don't need the body. Still you go through pain, isn't it? Similarly, in dream also you can have pleasure, in dream you can have pain also. That is a different thing. It's a different subtle form, and that in keeping the punya papa, that will exhaust it. So, naraka nigudaha. Understand now? Naraka nigudaha. So, they remain suffering in this life of transmigration, samsara. Is it clear now? And one more thing I have to say, the first sentence, the one who sees becomes free from all these, from the hold of all these negative tendencies. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. But one who wants to see also, how does one give up? Giving up kama, krodha, lobha, moha, then one makes effort to know the self, thereby one who understands self being the whole. That also you can say. But here, one who is ajnani, one who wants to become a jnani, also learns to manage, has to manage these kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsaryam, etc. A jnani becomes totally free from the hold of all these kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya. But an ajnani who wants to know the reality, who wants to say, I am the whole Ishvara, who can say in future, okay, who wants to become a wise person, then he makes efforts to manage these emotions, manage these states of mind. Has to manage. You managing, understand? Ajnani, who wants to know, who wants to become a wise person, makes efforts to manage them. A jnani becomes completely free from them. Ajnani becomes a slave of those thoughts. That's the difference. Understand now? Jnani who wants to know can manage. And wanted to be able to, because nobody can become totally free from those kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya until the knowledge dawns. Dawns means until this vision becomes ascertained. Even now you all have vision. I can't say you don't have vision. The vision is there. It has to become ascertained, assimilated. Understand? So that until the assimilation, vision becomes assimilated. See, the more you understand, the more you listen, more you can see them, those thoughts, you know, being managed. But managing means, and then consciously, you know, knowing these thoughts being there, and being prayerful, you know, being worshipful, you know, seeking Bhagavan's ways to manage them, and being committed to dharma, one can manage those thoughts. How can you manage your akama desire? You cannot undo the desire. You cannot suppress the desire, destroy the desire, but you can very well, you have to manage the desire. If you manage, you are master of your mind. If you do not manage, this is the main thing. The desire can be managed, other things can be managed easily. Krodha, understand, krodha, your desire can be managed. And all other things can be managed. Really. People think, oh, very difficult to manage anger. You can easily manage anger if you can make effort only to manage your desire. How can you manage your desire? The one who can manage one's desires is the one, okay, who has mastery over ways of thinking. The one who has the mastery over the ways of thinking is the master, one who has mastery over the mind. One who has mastery over the mind is not the slave of the mind. Master of the mind. If you cannot manage your desire and other thoughts, you will become a slave of your mind. So managing one's desires is managing one's mind. The one who can manage one's mind is the one person of self-management. What is self-management? Self-administration, okay? Self-management. Now, this way in all MBA classes nowadays, they started teaching Bhagavad Gita a little bit. Little bit. I don't know how much they teach, but they do teach nowadays. Self-management. And you had to pay 4 lakhs rupees in India to do a 10-month course. And immediate campus interview, campus placement. Because they study one more paper on Bhagavad Gita a little bit. Anyway, so self-management means being able to manage one's emotions, manage one's desire mainly. And managing one's desire implies, how can you manage the disease? Because you are not, I'm not saying you're giving up disease. You cannot give up. If you try to give up your desire, you will be a failure. Giving up or destruction or undoing a desire is not possible. And then nobody tells you to not to have disease. Please, Shastram does not say not to have disease, okay? Shastram encourages you. You can't help having disease. You naturally have disease, but you can manage them. How? Dharmam sharanam gacchami. Just by, in order to fulfill your desires, if you can do your actions in conformity with dharma, if you can carefully do your actions to fulfill desires without transgressing the universal values, then most of your desires will be managed. Definitely, even though your desire is there, you can withdraw, okay, from the wrong action. Even though you have liking to do, you will withdraw from doing if it is this. Now, your commitment to dharma is there. There will be strength to you refrain from wrong action. And if you have, even if you want to do, okay, you don't want to do, but if it is right, your commitment to dharma will make you do. That means your actions will not go by your whims and fancies. You understand? If your actions do not go by your whims and fancies, your likes and dislikes, then you manage your desires. Completely your actions are governed by your knowledge of values. That your commitment to live a life of values will help you manage your desires. Once you manage your desires, means you do fulfill many of your desires. One of your desires you do just don't fulfill. You are able to be without fulfilling them. That means you have managed your desires, means then you can easily manage anger, easily manage other emotions also similarly. Commitment to dharma always help you. Even the anger comes, but you know, drink water something and then manage. And that means what? You don't express, impulsively react. A thoughtful response. I don't say anger will not be there, but it, not that sort of your management will be, you can manage. And therefore, the person who knows the ultimate goal, thereby who wants to, who knows the value of dharma, who commits himself to live life of dharma, can manage this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, etc. Even he cannot undo, or he cannot give up totally anything. But the jnani, such a person, managing one's emotions and desires, etc., then if one lives the life of dharma, thereby, one can have the knowledge, and then he can say, saha aham. This is one meaning, another meaning. This is by managing. Whereas a jnani is the one who is free from. Until jnanam takes place, Shastra just says, no way one can be totally free from the hold of these thoughts. Only in the vision of fullness. Till then they'll be there. But you, as a very discriminate person, when you are committed to live like dharma, you live a life of the life with all alertness, then you intelligently, effortlessly, easily you can manage them. First, initially you manage, later on in order to be free from the whole totally. There's no totally undoing is not possible. Therefore, first line says, a jnani, one who knows the self, being free from all of them, and then he clearly sees the only reality in such a way that he can say, oh, I am the Lord, the awareness. No? Which is in the form of universal law and order. The whole. Otherwise, naraka nigodaha pachyante. They get affected, remaining, being subject to, be born again and again in this life of transmigration. So we'll go to, therefore, better know the self. Therefore, better know the self. So Bhaja Govindam comes. Okay, we'll go to next verse. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. Geyam Gita Nama Sahasram. Dheyam Shri Pati Rupamajasram. Dheyam Shri Pati Rupamajasram. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Neyam Sajjana Sange Chittam. Deyam Dina Janaya Chavit. Haven't you finished all these verses?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Have you explained that verse already?
Yes.
Kama krodha lobha moha. But you're all keeping because maybe you were not the doctor that day. But this is a good verse anyway, doesn't matter.
It's nice to listen again.
Okay.
Listening again.
You know what happened? I recently I thought I will not do Bhaja Govindam anywhere else, okay? Here I'll stop. And then I was thinking, but somewhere somebody asked me, one class, I said, okay, all you have heard, no, I won't teach. He said, no, doesn't matter, but now your interpretation is different, so we want to listen again. I started, that is why I think I forgot, that I didn't know that I studied here. I'm sorry. Neengalam, mangyama nyaagapaduthavilla. Okay, I'm sorry. No, I should have remembered anyway. I shouldn't have forgotten.
29.
Then I hardly remembered. Arthamanartham భావయ నిత్యం అర్థమనర్థం భావయ నిత్యం నాస్తి తత సుఖలేశ సత్యం నాస్తి తత సుఖలేశ సత్యం పుత్రాదపి ధన భాజాం భీతిః
పుత్రాదపి
ధన భాజాం భీతిః సర్వత్రైషా విహితా రీతిః
సర్వత్రైషా విహితా రీతిః
అర్థమనర్థం
భావయనేత్యం
నాస్తి తత సుఖలేశ సత్యం
నాస్తి తత
సుఖలేశ సత్యం పుత్రాదపి ధన భాజాం భీతిః
పుత్రాదపి
ధన భాజాం భీతిః సర్వత్రైషా విహితా రీతిః
సర్వత్రైషా విహితా రీతిః
సీ దిస్ జస్ట్ దిస్ వర్స్ బెటర్ నో ది లార్డ్ బెటర్ నో ది రియాలిటీ Don't wait anymore. Okay, don't wait anymore. Don't give up or see that you know the self. See that you understand the truth of the Lord. Why? Because only in knowing the truth, the real happiness is. Now you know moksha is a choiceless end. Happiness is your choiceless end. Definitely, we can never say, I don't want happiness. So, I don't want to make efforts to know the truth. We cannot say that. Happiness is a choiceless, universal end. No mind says no for happiness. Happiness, moksha, is a choiceless, ultimate end. It's not the fourth thing I told you already. It is something which is always sought, is happiness. And which is fullness, in fact. We don't want to be limited. We don't want to be time bound. We don't like this. We want to be free. We want to enjoy the fullness. In fact, that fullness, that happiness which you seek is very you. Very swarupam of you. Very you means what? That happiness, fullness is the swarupam of the whole. Swarupam of the reality. The reality and fullness are not two different things. పరం పొరులు నెరవం ఇరువేరు పొరులు అల్ల అండర్స్టాండ్ దేర్ వన్ అండ్ ది సేమ్ దెర్ఫోర్ నోయింగ్ ద రియాలిటీ నోయింగ్ ద ట్రూత్ ఈస్ నోయింగ్ ద ఫుల్నెస్ అండ్ రియాలిటీ హ్యాస్ బీన్ నోన్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ ద సెల్ఫ్ రియాలిటీ ఈస్ అవైలబుల్ ఫార్ రికగ్నిషన్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ ది సబ్జెక్ట్ ఆర్ నాన్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ యాజ్ ద సెల్ఫ్ దేర్ నో అదర్ వే దెర్ఫోర్ బెటర్ నో ద సెల్ఫ్ నో ద రియాలిటీ నో ద ట్రూత్ ఆఫ్ ద హోల్ నో ద డిస్కవర్ ఫుల్నెస్ దట్ ఈస్ వెర్ రియల్ ఫుల్ ఇన్ In fullness is happiness. Happiness is not available anywhere else. Anywhere else means what? In artha. In artha, no? Artha means all that we need to live this life. Please understand, you need infrastructure. You need a house, you need a home, you need family, you need people, you need all of them to live this life. Nobody denies it. But all these needs, all the very infrastructure is to live this life. Not for happiness. Understand? But to live this life, why do you live this life? To discover fullness. Infrastructure is needed for you to live this life. You are living this life to discover fullness. But what you do, that's why Shastram never says don't pursue artha. Before wealth is not a problem, okay? Wealth is Lakshmi. And then you can aspire for any amount of wealth. You can really pursue artha. You can understand. But please understand, don't overvalue artha. Artha is required. If you do not pursue artha, I want moksha, I want only jnanam, I don't want any money at all, I don't want to pursue artha anymore. If you think, then you will never accomplish moksha also. Shastram says that if you do not pursue artha, then definitely you are not contributing. Understand? You will be only the consumer. If you are a consumer, you are not a consumer. How will you survive otherwise? You have to pursue artha. You have to do something to earn your livelihood. You have to pursue artha. For all the comforts you need, you can always make efforts to do. No problem. If you do not make efforts to pursue artha, then, but through right means. Pursue artha through right means. In conformity with dharma. That is very important. Then you are in conformity, you are in harmony with the universal law and order, the Ishvara. If you do not pursue artha, if you do not pursue artha, then definitely you are only a consumer, you are not a contributor. Being a mere consumer without being a contributor implies you are disturbing the universal natural law and order. Everyone has to pursue artha, but artha has to be pursued for the sake of artha. If artha is pursued for happiness, right means, and then right end, wrong means. Understand? Then you are crazy. Don't pursue artha for happiness. Pursue artha in order not to disturb the universal law and order, in order not to be the mere consumer. You know you are a consumer. In order to be the contributor also, in order to understand, to live this life, to be in harmony with universal law and order, pursue artha. In conformity with dharma. Also enjoy pleasures in conformity with dharma through using that artha. Using that artha which you pursued in conformity with dharma. Ultimately for moksha, which is happiness. That is only in jnanam. Jnanam is happiness. Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of what fullness is. They are not two different things. Knowledge itself is mokshaha. For knowledge. Okay? But if you seek happiness in artha, through the pursuit of artha, then you are overvaluing artha. But in terms of fullness, artha cannot serve as means. Direct means. Understand now? Therefore, he says, artham anartham bhavaya. Artha is not an appropriate means for fullness. Anartham bhavaya. Bhavaya, please understand. Please think. Keep it in your mind. Think. Bhavaya enna. Enbada enna. Ennuvayaha. We say that, no? Bhavaya, may you think in your mind that artha is not the means for happiness. Why? Because artha is something to be accomplished, to be attained, which you do not have, which has to be attained by doing some karma. Whereas fullness, the happiness what you seek, is not at all to be attained. It is something which is to be discovered. Therefore, it can never be a fruit of an action. It is a fruit of knowledge, isn't it? Immediate. Not afterwards. First you gain, then you do some work, and then there's a day when you get your salary. Not like that. Once you discover, that's all. Understand? You know the truth, you know what happiness is. Therefore, happiness is not something to be attained, something to be discovered. It is not a fruit of an action, it is not a result of an action. It is just very self, just this question of discovering it. Therefore, artha, what is something to be attained, for which you need to work, and that cannot be a means for happiness, which is already there. Artha comes, artha goes. But what you seek is happiness, which is permanent. Everlasting joy you want. So it must be something already there, without your knowledge. That's all. How can artha, which comes and goes, which comes as a result of action, be the means for accomplishing everlasting happiness? Anartham. Therefore, anartham. It's not right means. Understand? Artham anartham bhavaya. பொருள் பொருளுக்காக மட்டும்தான் உதவும். பொருள் மோக் ஞானத்திற்கு நிறைவிற்கு பொருள் உதவாது. அர்த்தம் அனர்த்தம் பாவைய, இட் டசன்ட் சர்வ் தி பர்பஸ். கே அனர்த்தம் பாவைய வென் வென் நித்யம் ஆல்வேஸ் இட் ஹஸ் பீன் ஆல்வேஸ் இஸ் இஸ் த ட்ரூத் அபவுட் அர்த்தா. வாட் இஸ் த நேச்சர் ஆஃப் அர்த்தா? Artha, anything that you pursue, anything you pursue for security is artha. You must have read it Bhagavad Gita book. What is artha? How much expense? Very beautiful, isn't it? Artha is utterly money. Anything you pursue for security, of course you can feel secure when you pursue, that's okay. But for the sake of artha, you can pursue. One small thing you have to remember, a fullness or a happiness is something which is eternal. Because even if you discover, it will not go away from you. If it is not eternal, then it will go away even after you discover it. Understand? That is why you are not interested in temporary moksha. You are interested in moksha which is permanent. Once you discover happiness, you want to lose it or what? No. You want it to be forever. If it has to be there forever, it shouldn't have beginning at all. Therefore, it's an eternal joy. The everlasting happiness, that is fullness, which is very swarupam. That is why it can never go. When can the heat go away from fire? Never. Understand? That like that, the fullness is the very swarupam of the reality, which is very self, which is already there. It only needs to be discovered. Knowledge is the means. And how can the everlasting, timeless happiness be attained as a result of, okay, through the means of artha, which is time bound, which has been earned, which has been secured through karma, which is time bound in nature. Iliya? Therefore, artham anartham bhavaya. How wrong we are if we. Artham anartham bhavaya. He says, nityam, nityam, always. Always, please understand, artha, have pursued for the sake of artha, not for happiness. It is not right means for happiness. Please think about it again and again. Okay, nityam bhavaya. Nasti tataha sukha leshaha satyam. In fact, truth, it's a truth. Okay, satyam, really speaking. In fact, sukha leshaha api tataha nasti. From artha, you cannot have even, okay, flake of ananda, how many says flake of ananda, okay? In fraction of, even a fraction of pleasure you cannot have from artha. Tathaha means from there. Porulil irundhu unakku oru podum nirivu, oru nirivin konjam kooda kadaikkaadhu. Sukham is fullness. Sukha lesha, a bit of happiness. Least happiness, understand? You cannot have even least happiness from wealth. Why do you say that? Because I have artha, I'm happy, so happy now. In fact, this only gives infrastructure. Happiness is always, there's no happiness, really speaking. Whenever people say, I'm so happy, I'm very happy, they mean only pleasure. Pleasure is what? Fraction of fullness. Understand? Fraction of fullness, which is a state of mind. This is what is pleasure. And people mistake pleasure, the fraction of fullness, for fullness, the happiness. In fact, unless and until the reality is discovered, oneness of reality is discovered, the identity, individuality is resolved in the totality, there is no happiness, there is no fullness. Otherwise, you have moments of pleasures, long moments of pleasures. That's all. And even that pleasure is not from external objects. We may think, when I listen to the music, I'm so pleased, I'm so happy. I watch dance, I'm so happy. When I watch television, I'm so happy. When I eat this food, I'm so happy. Any objects, external objects, can hold attention for length of time, and they can make you forget yourself. Then these I sense, okay, I sense remains resolved. Attention is so held by that object of pleasure, you forget yourself. Understand? You have to forget yourself. Whenever you forget yourself, the smallness remains resolved, it's not triggered. Understand now? for some time, that state of mind is called what? Pleasure. Amazing, isn't it? Now, what pleasure is? You have to forget yourself totally. Whenever you forget yourself totally, then you that I sense is resolved for some time. Then the state of mind one entertains, one has, when I sense resolve, when one forgets oneself totally, that is called pleasure. There is no pain. How can one forget oneself? One's attention has been totally held by something else. Music, or dance, or food, or any company. Say no, some object of pleasure must be, the object must be such that you should hold your attention. In fact, pleasure is not from the object. Pleasure is only pleasure helps you to hold it in holding your attention. Really speaking, the object only holds your attention. The more the object can captivate your attention, the more the object can hold your attention, the more you forget yourself. The more you forget yourself, then the more the smallness remains resolved. The more the smallness remains resolved, understand, the more there is pleasure. This is the secret of pleasure, understand? Even then, the state of mind that surfaces is what? Fraction of fullness which is already there. Nirevin siru valipade enna inbamna. Isn't it? அது ஃபுல்லா மேனிஃபெஸ்ட் ஆக முடியறது இல்லை, பிகாஸ் வி ஜஸ்ட் டோட்டலி ரிசால்வ் நோ. அகெயின் அட்டென்ஷன் கெட்ஸ் டிஸ்ட்ராக்டட், ஓகே, அட்டென்ஷன், தென் அட்டென்ஷன், த ஆப்ஜெக்ட் கெனாட் ஹோல்ட் அட்டென்ஷன் ஃபார் வெரி லாங், தென் எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் ஓவர், எவ்ரி திங் கான், ஓகே, சீரியல் கான், எவ்ரி திங் இஸ் கான். தட் இஸ் வாட் பீப்புள் கெட் அடிக்டட் டு எனி திங், சீரியல்ஸ் ஆல்சோ, சீரியல் வாட்ச், எனி திங். வி கெட் அடிக்டட் டு திங்ஸ் பிகாஸ் ஃபார் லென்த் ஆஃப் டைம் இட் ஹோல்ட்ஸ் anything which can make me forget myself, okay, becomes object of myself, object of pleasure. In fact, the pleasure is not from there. All that the object does is, it holds your attention. And the more your attention is held, the more the I sense you forget yourself. The more you forget yourself, the smallness remains resolved. The smallness is not triggered, understand? Then the state of mind that one has at that time is pleasure. The pleasure is not from the object, it is just surfacing a fraction of fullness. That is pleasure. Therefore, what we want to say here, so that is what is sukham. Sukha leshaha is pleasure, understand now? Sukha leshaha, leshaha and sunna itnund. Understand? Even a bit least happiness, don't happiness also, lesham is very small amount, okay? Even little of little quantity, very even little of happiness is not there. Least happiness is not there. Happiness is not from artha, not from any object of pleasure, object of any objects also. And please, this is the truth, okay? Please think about it again and again. Even the so-called objects of pleasures, they are known as objects of pleasures. How they become instrumental, really speaking. Our pleasure is not from those objects. I do not know whether I told you in this class, earlier, other previous classes, I don't remember. But I remember Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Now once, I think he tells in one of his, on context, the dog goes and finds a bone. The dog finds a bone and it picks it up and it starts chewing. The dog is, the bone is so hard, you know, it scratches the very soft tissues inside the mouth. And then from its own mouth, the blood starts oozing. And this poor idiot dog thinks the blood is coming from the bone. Its own blood, but for the blood to ooze, it needs to chew what? The bone. Understand? But the dog thinks the blood is from the bone. It's not from the bone. But it has the joy of, pleasure of, you know, tasting its own blood. It doesn't know. It goes and really causes friction, you know, and blood starts oozing. Like that, happiness is very fraction, surfacing of the fraction of fullness. And we think object pleasure is from that very objects. This is the truth. Please understand this. Okay? There's not least happiness is the very reality. Reality and happiness are not two different things at all. If you know reality, you know happiness, what happiness. If you know what happiness is, then you have happiness. When you have happiness, you are happiness yourself. Otherwise, if you seek happiness through artha, then it's not artha or kama, they're not means. Understand? So, artham anartham bhavaya netyam. Arthamanartham bhavaya netyam nasti tata sukhalesha satyam.
Nasti tata
sukhalesha satyam. Then even if at all you have a lot of money and you know everything is okay, you are placed well, things are going to your expectation also, okay, things don't go, you know, in the wrong way, everything is fine, even then, the dhanabhajam bhitihi, the fear is certain for those who own wealth. Dhanabhag means one who has wealth, one who possesses wealth. Dhanabhajam, of those people who possess wealth. Dhanam is wealth. Dhanabhag means possessor of wealth. Like, so dhanabhajam, for those people who possess wealth, for them, bhitihi is certain, fear is certain. Why? From whom? Not from outside thieves. Putradapi. Okay. From one's own son, he is, there's fear. It's definite. I don't think our children are so bad, okay? And then I'm generally saying, because I know there are people, no, when parents get very old and they want to hold the property for some more time, they don't want to do any partition. They feel insecure. Okay? They definitely they're going to give the property later on to the children only. They've written the will and all that. But still they want to hold for some possession for some more time. They want to have some, no, possession. But the children want to, they're in a hurry to get it. See, how long can I be begging, you know? So something they might do. So they're scared, no? I don't know about it because I don't see. All these people who have written this Mahabhajagovindam, these later verses, I don't know. They must have done it all thoughtfully, no? Putradapi, not from outside thieves. Putradapi dhanabhajam bhitihi, the fear is definitely there for even. Now, for the people who possess wealth, even from people who feel very secure, they really feel very secure because they have very good infrastructure, they own enough and all that, who lived a good life, and such people also, they're very frightened of their own children, no way, because the fear is there, even from their own children, they have fear, they are frightened of their own children. Why? Because anything, anybody might do any time. Because it's only fear. Artha, the more artha, the more of things you possess to make whichever you think that they make you feel secure. The more money I have, the more I feel secure. That's true. But the more you'll be frightened also. That's the truth, isn't it? That is why the more we pursue artha for the sake of artha. No? But the more you pursue, the more you seek security in artha, the more you seek, you know, happiness, real security in artha. There's no real security in artha. The absolute security, the absolute protection is only knowledge. There's a relative protection, okay? The relative security is in artha. There's no doubt. But if you seek absolute protection, absolute security in artha, which is only relative security, then you will end up in fear. You can't help being really troubled by, haunted by fear. They'll overvalue, what is elective protection? You overvalue it. Then it becomes what? You seek absolute protection in what is electively protective. I don't say artha is useless. Okay? Artha has to be pursued. And artha makes one relative, artha is relatively protective. Have is artha to make, which helps you to live this life, but you seek absolute protection in knowledge. Understand? So, putradapi dhanabhajam bhitihi. And why do you say this? Sarvatra yesha ritihi vihita. Sarvatra, everywhere in this world, okay, nowhere, this way, this is there, it's natural, this is something which is naturally happening all over the world, everywhere. Any society, such things can happen. Vihita ritihi, this is something which is naturally happening, an ordained thing. Something which is there, known, very well known. Vihita means, vihita ritihi means, which is something happening naturally as something which is an ordained thing. Or vidikkappatta murai madri, eppodum ella pakkam nadakkira onru. Sarvatra yesha ritihi vihita. This is something, okay, which is naturally seen, noticed, happening all over as a definite thing. Therefore, don't seek absolute protection, freedom from fear or fullness in artha, which can only make you relatively secure. And don't seek fullness, happiness in objects. We have to understand that also. Which are only, which objects, pleasure also is only, the fraction of fullness. Which are again manifestation, surfacing of the fraction of fullness is not from objects. Therefore, please understand this truth and then remember this, think about this again and again, so then you know that better know the truth. Govindam Bhaja. Bhaja Govindamna Paramburulai Arivayaha. May you know the truth. Okay? He has to say something, then we'll come back to that. That's why. Now he talks about some disciplines. Okay, if you have to know the truth, better what all you can do.
Pranayamam Pratyaharam. Pranayamam Pratyaharam. Pranayamam Pratyaharam. Pranayamam Pratyaharam. Nitya Nitya Viveka Vicharam. Nitya Nitya Viveka Vicharam. Nitya Nitya Viveka Vicharam.
Nitya Nitya Viveka Vicharam.
Japya Sameta.
Japya Sameta.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Japya Sameta.
Japya Sameta.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Kurvavadhanam.
Kurvavadhanam.
Mahadavadhanam.
Mahadavadhanam.
Japya Sameta.
Japya Sameta.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Samadhi Vidhanam.
Kurvavadhanam.
Kurvavadhanam.
Mahadavadhanam.
Mahadavadhanam.
Okay. He just expects us to think. be alert. Okay? Kuru. Kuru, no? The word comes in. Kuru means may you do. May you do. Avadhanam kuru. Avadhanam means attention. Give attention to this. Or please remember this. Please give thought to this. Avadhanam kuru. Gavanathala vei. Saludam illaya? See, it sometimes no avadhanam kuru means may you do, may you, this is a do verb with the noun. Avadhanam kuru. Ninevil veshramana, gavanam, manasla, gavanathala vechiko. When do you say that? In your day-to-day expression, you say gavanathala vechiko. It means gavanathala vechiko means don't forget it, isn't it? The same meaning. Avadhanam means attention. Avadhanam kuru. No, please keep it in your mind. Keep in your mind. Don't forget this. Don't ever forget. Always remember this. Avadhana means attention. You know, you must have heard this word avadhani. One who can focus one's attention on different things simultaneously. And we ten things, we can say dasha avadhani. No? And I was in school, I used to have people, elderly person used to come. I used to wonder, my God, he can listen to the sound of the music, and then he can count the number, write the numbers, he can talk to other questions. He can 10 things, he can simultaneously, he can remember. 10 things will be happening all around, and he'll tell correctly all the 10 things what happened after some time. Amazing, no? Very difficult for us to focus on one thing. So, avadhana means focusing one's attention. Or attention actually speaking. Avadhanam kuru means focus your attention. In our dhyana mandala, manasla vei, gavanathil niruttu. That's the meaning. Understand? Please remember this. Don't ever forget this. It should be always. You cannot say something I forgot. Understand? Always be conscious of it. That's the correct word. Be conscious of it. Never forget it. Be alert about it. Avadhanam kuru. And then how avadhanam? Mahat avadhanam kuru. Understand? Great attention. Mahat avadhanam is emphasis. Whenever some same words are repeated in Shastram, emphasis is expressed. How importance is emphasized there. Because keeping it in one's mind, without forgetting it, is very important. Sometimes we know the value of a lot of things, but we forget. We don't remember it. In our minds. So here, Mahad Avadhanam Kuru, please keep it in your mind. Okay, don't forget it. It's emphasis, you know. To emphasis, to express the importance. Emphasis, no? It is repeated. Mahad Avadhanam Kuru. And then, Avadhanam Kuru, Mahad Avadhanam Kuru. So what should you do for that? Because you have to be conscious. You have to remember that you have to know the truth. And for which what you should do to know the truth, you have to have some discipline. Understand? Your mind is so unsteady now. The mind has to become a little calm. So for which, prana ayamam kuru. You have to use the word kuru with everything, okay? Prana ayamam kuru. Ayamaha means exercise. Exercise is called ayamaha. And prana ayamaha, exercise of the prana, okay, breathing exercise. Breath, okay, exercise of the breath. So breathing exercise is called prana ayamaha. Not the way you want to do pranayama, okay. If you have a teacher, and the teacher, anything should be learnt with the person who knows, who has studied systematically. Not at least some 10 days course somewhere, and then coming and teaching. All the pranayama, okay. Pranayama, it is not a must you should study pranayama for this. One of the disciplines to be practiced as a pre-preparatory, okay, technique for meditation is pranayama. Pranayama itself is become a pre-preparation for meditation. And pranayama also is a vast ocean-like thing. And it has to be practiced, studied with the teacher, and then whatever is suitable for your system, your age, and they'll teach and they have to learn very few and practice it. Because pranayama also, will any in exercising, in breathing exercise also, attention is held. Held by the, you know, when you do pranayama, naturally, attention cannot go here and there. That is why even the Gayatri Japa, when children do Sandhyavandanam and all that, it's a simple pranayama they'll do like this. At least Purakam, Kumbakam, Rechakam. Purakam means inhaling. Consciously inhaling. We are always inhaling, exhaling. When do we stop? But we are not conscious of it. So consciously inhaling, okay, and then it takes its own time. Because in inhalation, exhalation take place constantly. We don't even notice it. Effortlessly it is happening. There has been any effort with a problem, isn't it? And then we need some ventilation and all that. So here effortlessly it is happening. But when you do it, the same inhalation, if you observe, it's called purakam. Purakam means filling of the lungs with oxygen. And then you hold it. But immediately we, in pranayama, in daily breathing, naturally immediately we breathe out also, exhale also. But here, and we hold that breath for some time. That's called kumbhakam. Holding the breath. Fill it, then hold. For 1 second, you can't hold for very long, okay? But you are conscious. To hold the breath, you need to be conscious. You need to be focused. You can't just have the mind elsewhere. You can do it. So basic pranayama. Then you exhale. It's called rechakam. Rechakam means emptying. You first fill it with oxygen. Then hold it for breath for some time. Kumbhakam. Then rechakam, emptying it. Then when exhaling. No? Then this exhaling carbon dioxide. Then again hold the breath. After exhaling, hold the breath. That's again. Understand now? Again inhale. This is a basic step in pranayama. And all other techniques are based on this purakam, kumbhakam, rechakam. It's a basic steps. You need to know. Filling, holding the breath, then emptying. Rechakam. Rikthikaranam. Then again, hold the breath. Again, inhale. Not for very long. For fraction of a second. However long one can. The basic step. And what happens, it is not possible for one to do it unless one attention is there. You can't really, without paying attention, it is not possible for one to do pranayama. That is why it is very good. In a way, it's a pre-preparation for meditation sata. Really helps. But, again, depends upon the teacher has to tell you what all the breathing exercises you can practice. Big vast thing. But the basic things everybody learn, supposed to learn when the Upanayanam is done, when the children are taught Gayatri Upadesham, they are supposed to learn. They have to practice. Anyway, that is why, so he says here, pranayam kuru. And I can teach you one small thing next class. Because I have eaten food, I can't teach you now. Anyway, this we'll see something. If you really want to, I can teach you one small step. So prana ayamam kuru, okay? May you practice this, do this breathing exercise, pranayamam. Then pratyaharam kuru. Pratyaharam kuru. See, aharaha means food. You know that very well. Why food is called ahara? Because aharaha lit ahriyate iti aharaha. Ahriyate means that which is taken in. That which is taken in is ahara. See, there's no meaning why food is called food. But here, food is called ahara because that which is taken in is called food. Ahara. Ahriyate iti aharaha. That which is taken in is ahara. And here, not only food is taken inside. Any object you perceive through sense organ also is what? Taken in to your mind, isn't it? It goes in. You see through eyes, that goes to your mind. You hear through ears, that goes to your mind. It has to go through, okay? It has to go inside. And whatever you smell through your nose, it goes to your mind. Understand? Whatever you sense through, perceive through five different senses, it goes, everything goes to your mind. Therefore, every object of knowledge, object of perception also is ahara. Understand? Any sense object is what now? Ahara. So, pratyaharam kuru means be moderate in enjoying sense objects. So, practicing, okay, moderation in sense enjoyment, sense objects. Pratyahara, the discipline. Suppose, don't overindulge. So, avoiding overindulgence and doing anything moderately, okay, moderation is what? Pratyahara. So, enjoyment of sense objects is pratyahara. So, that also involves in what? Conscious. You have to be conscious. You can't do mechanically. No, people who are depressed eat lots and they don't even know what they're doing, how much they gulp. Or they don't eat at all. You know, that means there's no conscious behavior. Absence of mind. Attention is not there. That is why here, suppose to be moderate, to have moderation in all that we perceive and do things, how much I watch TV, how much I do, how much I eat, how much I drink, how much I allow myself to do, enjoy things, everywhere you're conscious of. It's called pratyahara. Understand now? One of the disciplines. So, pratyaharam kuru. So, may moderate, okay? Because this is all very big. Otherwise, this is how you are made alert. See, practice of this discipline such as pranayama and pratyaharaha, it is we are not asked to control here. If we know the advantages, the value of the gain we are going to have later on, then naturally you know the value of it. You are asked not to have at all. You only expected to do things consciously. With alertness. Don't do things mechanically without your mind being there. No, it all helps us. The more we do things attentively and consciously, and more the mind becomes sharp. The more the mind becomes the more alert it is, the sharper it will be. Therefore, pratyaharam kuru. Then, nitya anitya viveka vicharam kuru. This is nitya, anitya, vivekaha, Nitya, anitya, vivekaha. Nitya vastu kim, anitya vastu kim, iti vivekaha. What is that really absolute? What is real really? What is not real? And what is that I seek? That's also very important. What is that ultimately I seek? What is that my choiceless end? My choiceless is nityaha. What I seek in my life is everlasting happiness. The moksha, not that I want to have for some time. I don't want a holiday trip, no. I only want a everlasting joy, happiness, the fullness. And that is eternal. And that is, therefore, that can be, if that is fullness, is eternal, definitely what is it that can give fullness is must be also eternal. So what is it eternal? What is a permanent thing? The beginningless, endless, changeless, permanent thing alone can give a fullness which will last forever. How can a time-bound thing give me fullness? Timeless happiness. Therefore, what is that which is real? Which is eternal? Real is something eternal. What is real is what is eternal? Which exists independent of everything else. Nitya, what is real? And what is not real? What is mithya? What is as though? What seems to be real, because the problem is, what is not there at all cannot be mistaken for real. Understand? What is not there at all cannot be mistaken for real. My problem is, we don't need to worry about what is not there at all. A non-existent thing, we don't need to worry about a non-existent thing, like rabbit's horn. Understand? Rabbit's horn is something unreal. What is unreal? That which does not exist at all is unreal. So can we say all that objects, our hunger, thirst and food and then all our day-to-day activities are pursued, artha, kama, dharma and the whole jagat, they're all unreal or what? They're unreal. They very much exist. But they very much exist. They seem to be real. If they're totally non-existent, then there's no problem. We will not know them. But the problem here is they're very much there. But they are not real. Understand? They're as though. They're mithya. Is it clear now? We'll be very careful about it. So what is, we are not bothered about what is not there at all. We are bothered about what is real, what is there, what is as though. But we mistake that what is as though, what is mithya for absolutely real. That's our problem. Therefore, now all that you need to do is what is real and what is not real. I am not using unreal, okay? Better not use the unreal. What is in, what is unreal, don't say. So discriminate, may you have, okay, what is absolutely real, okay, and what is mithya. Viveka has a discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real. This understanding you have, first you have the understanding of what is real and what is not real, then viveka vicharam kuru. Vicharam kuru, vicharaha means, what do you mean? What is the meaning of the word vichara in Tamil?
Visarana.
Yeah, vicharaha. Vicharaha is enquiry. Okay, enquiry means enquiry into, okay, constantly thinking about it. Enquiry means not other person. Don't go and enquire. Another person, okay, so enquiry into what is real and what is not real. So, enquiry into, you are discriminative understanding. You are enquiring into your discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real. Because this constant vichara, constantly dwelling upon, constantly meditating upon, dwelling upon this understanding, discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real, will really help you understand what is real. Now, I mean, will help you to ascertain what is real. So this, may you keep on inquiring into the discriminative understanding of what is real and what is not real. So nitya anitya viveka vicharam kuru. Vivekasya vicharam kuru. Then japya sameta samadhi vidhanam kuru. Japya sameta samadhi vidhanam kuru. Samadhi vidhanam means, in fact, samadhi is another word you have to understand. Samadhi. Samadhi yate asmin chittam iti samadhi. See, being able to focus the attention of the mind on a given object, understand? And being able to have one's mind absorbed in a given object to the exclusion of everything else is samadhi. Understand? I repeat again. Being able to focus on a given object for a length of time, thereby being able to remain absorbed on a given object, okay, for length of time is samadhi. அது மனதின் கவனத்தை ஒரு பொருளில் நிறுத்தி அப்பொருளில் மனதின் கவனம் மனதில் ஒன்றி இருத்தல் மனதின் கவனம் பொருள் ஒன்றி இருத்தல் ஒன்றி இருத்தல் வெரி தமிழ் வேர்ட் டெல்சி நாட் ஆஸ் அ செகண்ட் திங் ஒன்றி இருத்தல் இஸ் சமாதி. தி சமாதி பீப்புள் ஹவ் ராங் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் ஆல்சோ அகெய்ன் திஸ் தே ஹவ் வெரி வெரி ராங் மீனிங் ஆஃப் தி வேர்ட் சமாதி. சமாதி Shankara says in Gita Bhashyam, samadhiyate chittam asmin iti samadhi. Asmin means in one given thing. But here, if any one thing, mind remains absorbed, Can you call samadhi? No. Understand? So samadhi vidhanam means, so may you contemplate upon the nature of the reality, thereby remain absorbed in that nature of that reality. Let me understand the reality, then focus attention on the nature of the reality, be meditative upon the nature of reality, and then remain absorbed in that reality. Samadhi vidhanam kuru. That is when other thoughts will not rise. What samadhi means, you will be consciously focusing attention on the nature of reality. Thereby, in due course of time, attention remains absorbed in that reality. Then other thoughts do not rise. In that state, thoughts do not rise. It was called samadhi vidhanam kuru. So may you be contemplative and remain absorbed in the sarupma of reality. That's the meaning. It's not, you have understood, you are listening, you are understanding. Also make efforts all the time, you know, to be able to contemplate upon the nature of reality as you understand. And you remain absorbed, try to remain absorbed in that nature of reality. அது பரம்பொருளின் சொரூபத்தை புரிந்து அதில் கவனத்தை நிறுத்து அதில் மனதை ஒன்றி இருக்க செய். இதோட சமாதி விதானம் குரு. இஸ் இட் கிளியர்? சமாதி விதானம் குரு. தென் ஜாப்ய சமேத, அண்ட் ஃபார் விச் எஸ் ப்ரீ ப்ரிப்பரேஷன் யூ கேன் ஆல்சோ டூ இட் ஜப்பம். நோ மென்டலி யூ கேன் டூ மானச ஜப்பா. Mentally you can do manasa japa also. You can chant a name, chant a mantra. So all disciplines, always the best thing for all of us is japa. Japaha, you can start doing orally initially. If possible, you can immediately, directly start doing it mentally also. But if you start mentally, when you do, in fact one nama should be taken. One mantra should be taken, simple one, and it's a very simple, easiest, non-confusing, okay, japa, the discipline is japaha. That is why if you see all the people in India, old people, generally if you go to any teacher, the proper traditional people, they'll give you, ask you to do japa, they'll get you in japa mala. Not like this so-called, some people are mechanically they do also. Not like that, so putting it in a bag and all that. Not like that. Here, any japam, any mantra, you take it and then do it. Japam is always good. Japaha itself is, you know, repetition. Understand? Japaha is repetition. And repetition of what? Japa of what? Okay? So repeated utterance is called japa. So here, may you practice this. No, repeated utterance, repeated, made you practice this, practice uttering repeatedly a mantra or nama, something. We have this practice of japa also. Why? Because this is how the unsteady, running, wavering mind can be slowly calmed and brought to steadiness. The mind is of the nature of agitation. Mind is always in a state of flux. That is the nature of the mind. Why the mind is like that? Why mind is so restless? It is like asking, why fire is hot? It is like asking like that. You can't ask, why fire is hot? Hey, fire should be hot. Not fire is hot, fire is very heat. Understand now? That is the nature. Like that, what? Why mind is so agitated? Mind, what else mind can do? Why monkey is jumping here and there? Can you ever ask the question? Monkey will be jumping. That's the nature, understand now. So similarly, the mind is of the nature of agitation. Always in a state of flux, running here and there. But always indisciplined, unsteady. In spite of being exposed to so much of discipline, all that. Therefore, the best thing is, have a japa, do japa regularly as an easy discipline. Because japa, nama japa, mantra japa definitely helps the restless, agitated mind to remain calm and steady. The best. Om Namah Shivaya. If you don't want, Om Namo Narayanaya. Any mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Any mantra. Take one mantra, repeat it softly. In fact, you can say it mentally also. Manas Japa is recommended. Understand? But initially you can say, Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Now, how many ever letters are there, the sounds are there, in keeping with the number of sounds, that much time you should take. Every vowel takes one matra time. A consonant takes one matra time. And sometimes people go and take japa upadesham. And what they'll do, the guru tells, okay, the teacher tells, come on, do it at least 100 times. And they're in a hurry, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. Then it doesn't serve the purpose. Any word, when you utter, you should take the sound it should take to be uttered. Because a vowel should take one matra kala, a consonant should take one matra kala. Om Namah Shivaya, how many sounds are there? How many vowels and consonants are there? That many matra kala it should take. That much. Okay? That means what? That much time it should take. Om. Don't say Om Namah Shivaya. This is wrong. After you lose all attention will go away. That's why any that's also wrong. So when you say Om, only has three matras, okay? Akara, ukara, makara, and three matra kala. Om. Okay, what is one matra kala? One unit of time, how much is it? To say how much time it takes? It's one matra kala. You can't really measure and, okay, I want to measure and then study. No. It's like, no, Indian women using things for in cooking. They're all surprised. How is it possible for you to, without measuring, you put everything? I said, not only me, all are Indian women, they never measure, okay? They can put everything. How do you know how much sugar to put? How do you know how much salt to put? You just take it, not even spoon, okay? Just to take and put like this, the dabba, okay? You put how much the chili powder to put. I mean, you don't measure everything, they want measurement, no? Yes, we don't measure. We have some knowledge that we measure and we just do it like that. Like that here also don't really measure. But we have some understanding. One matra kala means this much. So this thing, less hours are there. This should take only this much time. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. You not be the same this way, but you know your own, okay? Simply softly, so that only one mantra, not too many mantras. Japa always of one mantra. Japa means repeated utterance is called japa. One mantra, repeat again and again and again, and try to focus attention on the mantra. Not even the meaning, okay? Just the mantra. It is Bhagavan Nama. And keep on repeating it, and this japa also slowly. It will calm down. Slowly it will help you to steady the mind. So japa is the best thing. So japa sameta. Understand? Here, then. So may you follow all these disciplines. And please keep it in your mind. Kuru avadhanam. Remember this. It's very important to know the truth. Understand? And therefore, to prepare your mind for the truth, knowledge of the truth, and practice these disciplines.
Guru Charanambuja, Nirbharabhakta, Samsarada Chirad Bhava Mukta, Samsarada Chirad Bhava Mukta, Sendriya Manasa, Sendriya Manasa, Niyama Devam, Niyama Devam,
ద్రక్ష్యసి నిజ హృదయస్థం దేవం ద్రక్ష్యసి నిజ హృదయస్థం దేవం. సో గురు చరణ అంబుజ నిర్భర భక్త. గురు చరణ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద గురు, అంబుజ లోటస్, లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద గురు. నిర్భర భక్త, ఓకే, నిర్భర భక్త, వన్ హూ హ్యాస్ గ్రేట్ కమిటెడ్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్, హ్యావింగ్ టోటల్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద గురు ఈస్ ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ టోటల్ కమిట్మెంట్ టు ద గురు. అండర్స్టాండ్? సో నిర్భర భక్త, the total devotion, nirbhara bhakta, the one who has total devotion towards the feet of lotus feet of the guru is nirbhara bhakta. Such a person samsarat achirad muktah bhava. May you be the committed genuine devotee of the devotee to the feet of the lotus feet of the guru, then సంసారాత్ ముక్త భవ. మే యూ బికమ్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్, వన్స్ యూ సండర్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ టు ద గురు, ఓకే, టు ద ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ద గురు, డెఫినెట్లీ ముక్త భవ, దేర్ బై మే యూ బీ ఫ్రీ. ముక్త భవ, మే యూ బికమ్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ వాట్? సంసారాత్, ఫ్రమ్ సంసార. హౌ? అచిరాత్, సూన్, ఓకే. చిరాత్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ లాంగ్ టైమ్. అచిరాత్, సూన్. May you become free from samsara soon by committing yourself to the feet of the guru. The teaching, guru's feet means not that, don't, again another problem, okay, I'm out of time, I'll come back and teach you next class. The folding out the feet or what? May you be committed to the teaching and the teacher. Commitment to the teaching implies commitment to the teacher. Teacher and shastra are not two different things, understand? Teacher is the one who has shastram in buddhi, and shastram comes from the words, through the words of the teacher. Understand now? He can't say something contradict what the shastram says. Therefore, commitment to the words of the shastram and the teacher. In fact, it's called shraddha. May have shraddha in the words of the unflinching faith in the words of shastram and teacher. So that's why, that's what it is said to be being surrendering oneself to the lotus feet of the guru. Understand? Or being a devotee of the feet, being devoted to the feet of the guru. So guru charana ambuja bhaktaha, nirbhara bhaktaha, samsarat muktaha, achirad muktaha bhava. Soon may you become free from that samsara. Then in this way, sa indriya manasa niyamat, indriya manasa niyamat, by having mastery over the mind and senses, so living a disciplined life as prescribed, living a disciplined life prescribed in the shastra, that you have to underline, okay. Evam, in this manner, then devam drakshasi, you will see the all-effulgent, self-effulgent reality, the Lord. Devaha means effulgent. The self-effulgent, all-effulgent reality, the Lord. Irevanai, parambarulai, understand? You will see. Drakshasi, you will see. Where? Nija hridayastham. Nija means one's own. And hridayastaha. Hridayam means heart. Staha means one who remains. You will see the Lord, the self-effulgent reality remaining in your own heart, in your own mind. Heart means mind, as the very truth of the mind, as very you. Understand? So, the one simple thing is, what should I do for Govindam Bhaja? Therefore, what should I do for that? Guru Charana Ambuja Nirbhara Bhaktaha Bhava. May you be committed to the teacher and shastra. Then you will become, may you be free from samsara soon. So having mastery over this senses and mind, living a disciplined life as prescribed in the shastram, you will soon discover in your own mind, in your own hridayam, the Lord, the effulgent Lord as the effulgent reality. Nija hridayastam devam drakshyasi.
భజ గోవిందం భజ గోవిందం గోవిందం భజ మూఢమతే సంప్రాప్తే సన్నిహితే కాలే నహి నహి రక్షతి దుర్వింకరణే ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.